Blog Talk Radio.
Yo. What's up, Red?
What's going on, Brother T?
Not much. What up, everybody out there on Blog Talk Radio land? It is Big Red and Brother B. Another episode of The Menu, Blog Talk Radio. What up, what up? What's up, everybody? Hope everyone had a good, great, wonderful, you know, holiday. And to those that didn't, our prayers are with you. You know, times like this, we got to think about the less fortunate. To the, you know, not just about the haves, of course, but about the have-nots. Because not everyone is blessed in the same way. So, you know, to the less fortunate, you know, definitely in our prayers and hope that, you know, things get better. You know, I was on Facebook and seen a couple of people who, you know, just lost people recently, and this was like their first, you know, holiday, you know, without them. And, yeah, it's tough.
That's hard. Yeah, that's hard.
You know, it's definitely a tough one. You know, it's not like it's, you know, me and Big Red, you know, we've been there. And, you know, it's a very bitter pill to swallow. But, you know, by the grace of the Most High, we try to move forward. And, you know, just make the best of it. But, you know, our condolences to those who did lose someone recently. And, once again, our prayers are with you as well. You know, we hope that, you know, you get through it. And you know what? It was crazy, Red. You know, the holiday season seemed like the worst time. Like, I was reading something a while ago, how they say, like, a lot of people get really depressed around the holiday season.
Oh, yeah. I've read that. So, you know, I've been seeing that as well. Down in the dumps around this time. You know, it's, you know, a lot of things are involved in that, like, because it's never lost someone recently, you know, sometimes it's financial stuff, sometimes, you know, just people just going through things mentally, physically, so, yeah, that happens.
Yeah, yes, it will. So, are you all right? How you doing, Red? What's going on, man?
I'm good, I'm chilling. I have to say, despite, what we just talking about, but, you know, I have to say my holidays are pretty good. The last couple of years, especially this year, you know, so far my first holiday was, it was good. It was really good. It was really fun, really good. I did a lot of laughing, a lot of drinking, a lot of eating, it was good. It was good. I felt good.
You sound real generic when you say that. I just want to throw you on the bus out there. But
when you sound generic,
sounds really good. Sounds good. I was good. I was really good. I'm like, all right, that was a lot of good going on there. Like, you know. So I was like, what is that? Is she lying?
Yeah, it was. I'm happy about that. That it was, good. And I'm hoping that, next the holidays coming up, the rest of the holidays 2019 is, good. And
thing is, as long as we're breathing and we're continuing to fight the fight, it's going to be good. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, can't claim the positions that we're in terms of whether it's employment or just being able to walk, being able to see, you know, just being able to, you know, being able to get through. And, you know, that's something that we definitely have to always recognize. We got a caller, 3569, you're on the air with Dominion. What's up?
Oh, it's Lady T. How you doing? How you doing, Brother V?
Yo, what's up, Lady T? How you doing?
I'm good, I'm good. I'll wait till y'all talk about the toxic.
Oh, no problem. Red, if you don't know, this is the celebrity right here, Lady T.
Oh, please.
From Absolute Truth. Absolute Truth.
Oh, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Yeah, you know, but yeah, like I was saying, like a lot of people, you know, around this time of year, we just can't forget those who either are less fortunate or are going through something. Like, you know, everybody says, oh, we got to put up the tree, we got to do this, got to do that. But, you know, there are people that are not thinking about putting up a tree. There are people that are thinking about getting their life together, getting their mind together, you know, other things. How are they going to make ends meet? So, you know, some people would say, oh, well, what they got going on is not what I got going on. But see, that's the selfish attitude. As humans, we need to kind of, we need to stop. You know, we need to start thinking more about one another and not just during this time of year, like when it's convenient, you know, and everybody, you know, just seems happy and stuff like that. Like, we need to carry that happiness all year round, you know. But I just got a little gripe that I want to throw out there to all you, and I don't know who's listening, and I really don't care, but these New York City taxi cab drivers, yo, I don't understand why they seem to think that they can just stop in the middle of the street or just pull over like half in the street, half not. You know, I don't understand how they get their licenses. I don't understand how they continue to have driver's license. Yeah, I don't get it. Like, when I'm at work and, you know, I have to drive, I see a lot of these cabs and they just stop. Or they'll cut from one lane across like three lanes just to go see somebody who has their hand up to waiting for a cab. Now, mind you, I just tried to catch a cab. Like 2 weeks ago, I tried to catch a cab. You think I was able to catch cab?
Hell no.
Hell no. Hell no. I was out in the rain for like 30 minutes. You think I was able to catch cab? So I just wound up, luckily the rain stopped, I wound up just walking. But what's sad is I'm just like, wow. Like, these cats just stop. Like, I drive a truck. I mean, my personal vehicle, like, I drive a truck. Not a little SUV, I drive a truck. A little over 5,500 pounds. They don't stop on a dime. I don't understand. I really don't get it. So if let's everybody just do someone a favor. If you know someone that drives a cab, tell them, think, please. Because the person behind you may not be. Or the person behind you, you know, just may not be able to stop on a dime. You know what I'm saying? That's just a little gripe. That's a little something I had to get off my chest real quick, because it's really been pissing me off with this, you know. Like, I'm going to have to change my brake pad soon. It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense. But anyway, does anyone else have anything to get off their chest real quick? Anybody got anything to say? Just let it out. Is it good?
I'm coming at some sense right now. Maybe by next week, something will get on my nerves.
Uh-oh. The world must be turning different if Big Red ain't got nothing to beef about. Okay, no problem.
Yeah, right?
All right. So, let's step into this. Can you be pro-black with a white spouse? Now, Big Red, since this is your topic, you are going to set it off, and then Lady T I this is an honor because I don't remember the last time there was like multiple women, like more than one woman up on the show. I think the last time because it was Mika that called in. Well, no, actually, Miss Cherry called in last week. So yeah, this is an honor, like another week in a row to have some. So you guys, I'm listening. Go ahead, break it down.
Okay, all right,
break it down.
So can you be pro-black with a white spouse? I think that you it's a half and half. I think you can, but if that white spouse has to be on board, or you know, they have to be on board with whatever it is that you know going for. Because I mean, just because that's your spouse, that don't mean they have to be with you. They don't have to agree with your being pro black or whatever. They don't have to agree with it, but you know, I think it can happen. It depends on, you know, if they, like I said, if they're both on board with the same, you know, thinking. I would think that the white spouse would have to be with you because you have somebody black. I would think it would happen, but I mean, you know, sometimes they might not, you know, might not. So I'm
Lady T.
I would say, no, the white spouse doesn't even have to be on board with that, but I'm sure they knew you were pro-black when they got with you.
Right.
But my thing is, doesn't it kind of cancel itself out? Because how are you pro-black? And you're talking about everything that the ancestors fought for, everything that we're still fighting for, but then you're with a person that's of a different color, different race, that probably doesn't even understand the struggle. So I don't know. It kind of cancels itself out for me.
Okay, let me sip my water. There's a little parched there. Okay. Okay, may I step in?
Okay.
Well,
mm-hmm.
First of all, I agree on both sides, what both of you say. But what is intriguing is the fact that how could you be on some pro-black and then have a white spouse? Now, my thing is, with that, is it really pro-black, or you are just, can you, do you, does the individual consider themselves making other people aware, you know, or just mentioning the struggle of, you know, black people in this country, a struggle that we have had, you know, in this country, and the things that we are going through currently in this country. To have a white spouse, of course, them playing their role as like, well, yeah, I get it, you know, yada yada yada, you know, it's about, you know, it should just, you know, it should be equal across the board. But I think it puts them in a compromising position to be with somebody who makes, because I mean, let's not beat around the bush. If you make a certain statement pertaining to black people, you know, like whether it's, you know, law enforcement shooting a black person or something else, like it always seems to be some type of controversy behind it. And then the white spouse that you have, you know, at any given time, somebody can be like, like, how do you feel about that? Because it kind of puts them, it puts them in on the spot. It just puts the spotlight on them because they're of a different ethnic background. Now, me personally, I'm not going to get into the whole pro-black thing because I already know who I am. I already know the struggles of my people, and I know the struggles that we will keep enduring in this country. But me personally, when are we just going to stop talking about black and just start being who we need to be? Because I think we addressed it on the show before. when white people, well, certain white people, like, use the word, like, oh, blacks are lazy. I mean, to a degree, they are right, because there's certain things that we're not doing for us, but we're so busy, some of us are so busy talking about, you know, what this country needs or to do for us, or what other people need to stop doing to us. The question is, what are we going to start doing for us? That's why the whole, I mean, if you wanted to do it back in the civil rights era with the pro-black thing, that's one thing. But now, today, I kind of see it like, well, where are you coming from? I can understand standing up for a cause, you know, like a Tamir Rice or a Trayvon Martin or, you know, Anton. So I can understand being a voice for a cause, for a change, for something. But sadly, 9 times out of 10, we scream, and then the action is more like a whisper. So nobody really takes us seriously on some of the, like, to me, it's always seemed like it's something pro-black to talk about. But yet, every year or so, maybe every 2 years, they reboot some slavery show, like Roots rebooted. I don't want to see that shit no more. I don't care about Roots. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, like, you know, I find it interesting. Hollywood makes a lot of money off of this slavery shit.
Yeah,
I don't want to keep hearing about. I don't want to keep hearing about being a slave, or we used to be slave. I don't want to keep hearing about how we, because 9 times out of 10 in Roots, they're not, you know, the Roots rebooted, they're not telling the full stories. So don't give me
Roots
no half baked bullshit.
I heard Roots wasn't like, I heard that was Roots. I heard you know, that was like a story as well. Like a lot of that wasn't true. So I don't know. But
my thing is this. Are you talking about from Alex Haley?
Yeah.
The original?
Yeah.
When you, well, what did you hear that wasn't true?
Well, I don't know what part. I'm just saying, I heard that they were saying that a lot of it, that it was basically, you know, a lot of it wasn't exclusive. I don't know, you know, what part or where or whatever, but I've heard something. I've heard it several times that they were saying that, you know, the story that he took, remember, it was supposed to be like his family. That was supposed to be his family.
Okay.
And they were saying that it wasn't, you know, it was a lot of it was made up.
Oh, glamorized.
Right.
Well, all right. One thing I find interesting, like, we have some actors. All right, and I'm going to take one of my favorites. One of my serious favorite male actors, Sidney Poitier. White spouse?
Yep.
He currently has a white spouse, right?
Mm-hmm. I think he owns that one, right?
Yeah. So, now, I have to ask and put it out there. Knowing the contributions and how vocal that he has been, what are your thoughts on him? Go ahead, Lady T. What are your thoughts on Sidney Poitier?
I'm kind of just say for him, maybe he couldn't help who he loved. I really don't know, because I seriously don't understand it.
Well,
right.
All right, Red.
I mean,
Red,
saying that you're pro-black, Rubber B, it's not also saying that, oh, I'm racist. You know that, right? So.
Well, exactly. And see, that's my thing. Just like if a white person was, you know, speaking how we may speak about how our people and this, that, and the third. Because, you know, everybody feels that they have a struggle. Okay, no problem. No one has a struggle like ours. Everybody's different, but all right. You have some white people out there feel that, oh, you know, we're going to become the minority soon. And everybody else is going to take over, and then they're going to forget about us and this, that, and the third. All right, fine. If that's your thoughts, and you're pro-white, then so be it. But yeah, exactly. Pro-black doesn't mean that you're a racist. Pro-black doesn't mean that you don't like other ethnicities of people.
Yeah, but society today would put that out there like that. They must be black. All you got to do is have something black, and they'll twist it to the way they want.
Because it's their job to vilify. It's the media and society's job to vilify us.
Right.
And people can try to say whatever they want to say, but I remember that gentleman who was killed by a cop in his own apartment, and they went so hard on trying to talk about some small, insignificant amount of marijuana that they claim they found in his apartment. What did that have to do with this man being in his own house and she so-called what? Went in entered the wrong. How do you enter the wrong? I can't use my keys in your door. So how did she enter the wrong apartment?
Because she's full of crap. That's why.
Exactly. She probably had keys. Listen, and of course we know that they swept it under the rug. They cleaned it up. You know, they're gonna make sure that she, you know, whatever she gets is gonna be a little fluffy. They're gonna take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would have to say this. If I was a white spouse, what I would find, I mean, what would make me uncomfortable is the fact of being with someone who has to bear the weight of these struggles. Like, how do you do you be with someone? You know, because, I mean, we can't just talk about the black person's part. We got to look at the white person's part, too. And the fact that how they have to sympathize, but at the same thing endure some of the emotional crap that comes along with it. I mean, yo, it's hard. I'm sure it's hard on both ends. And what's crazy is, as much as a white person say, I get it, I can relate, to a degree you really can't.
But then they'll say, well, my spouse is black. I can relate. My spouse is black.
You can't relate because they're not doing it to white people. I mean, let's not bite our tongues on this. They're not doing it if we would have to go by media reports alone. You don't hear about it happening to Spanish people or Indian people or Asian people. Every time you turn around, you hear about some law enforcement dude being over aggressive, a white man shooting some black man or, you know, some black woman. You hear about it. So, I mean, the media can lie, but they, you know, I mean, every report can be a lie, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, once again, some people can say they relate. Somebody can say that, oh, well, my spouse is black and, you know, I feel. Listen, I get it. Thank you. But certain people, just like Kim Kardashian was kind of silent when Kanye was going through his rant and saying what it, like, she, you know what? I think she played it best. She stayed quiet. She stayed quiet because there's nothing that she can really relate to. There's nothing that she can really say. I mean, even though I know she probably knew that this dude was, like, off his meds or something like that, but despite whatever, there's really nothing that she could say to add to it that probably wouldn't piss somebody off. Like, all right, Don Lemon. Now, real talk, I didn't know Don Lemon was homosexual. I didn't know he was gay. I just, like, recently found that out because somebody was talking about he has a white spouse. So I was like, a white boyfriend or whatever. So I was like, oh, okay. I was like, all right, kudos to him. I mean, I do find it interesting. with the attitude and the views that he has, but yet he has to go home. You know, he goes home to someone white. But at the same time, I really have to look at that person who is white, and I have to say thank you, because it's not so much a fact that they say they get it, but some of them just don't care, because some of them just don't see color. Some of them are all about the human aspect of it. Just like we've had, you know, numerous white people in throughout the civil rights movement who just, like, they don't see color. They just see human, they just see equality all across the board. So, you know, as you said earlier, Lady T, being pro-black or expressing your views on black issues doesn't make you a racist. It just merely makes a statement on you in terms of your conscious level, in terms of what's going on. I mean, and you know, in my opinion. But I do think that there's a gray area between, you know, when you have someone like, because, I mean, look, Cuba Gooding Jr., who else besides Sidney Poitier?
What's his name? Childish
Gambino. Most Def. Yeah, Most Def. You know, and there's a few more out there. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. I guess to be black and talk about it is one thing, but I'd rather hear from someone Caucasian. I'd rather hear their views. And who do we have on the air that we know that can get Caucasian? K Dog. Let me stop.
Hello. Hold the applause, please. Hold the applause. Please. Everybody, sit down. Oh, thank you for the standing ovation. What's up, y'all? What's up? How you doing on this Sunday evening? And here we are talking about a topic here that's very serious. And what's up? Better be Big Red and. Hello, Lady T. What's up, Miss T?
Hello.
Very happy. Okay.
Wait, K-Dog, hold on. Before I have to say something before you start. I want to apologize. I have to apologize because, you know, my work schedule is pretty tight. So I'd just woke up, jumped in the shower, and, you know, apparently, yes, I was eating something. And, you know, a friend just texted me and said, oh, stop smacking so loud or stop chewing. And I didn't know it was that loud. I'm sorry. Like, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to do it. But it is called the menu. Okay? It is called the menu. But, yeah.
The menu.
You know, but,
right. You got to order some food, man. I'm eating right now as I'm talking to you.
Yeah. I'm sorry because after the show, I got to get dressed and then go to work. So, yeah, I try to multitasking. But I'm done eating now. I'm done. No more plates.
I'm just drinking my water.
Okay.
Well, you know, first up, I've had this discussion, and to be honest, I didn't know how to put my answer into the right words of it. Can someone be pro-black, but yet their spouse is of a different race? Let me tell you. Being pro-black doesn't necessarily mean that you hate everybody who is not black. Being pro-black is being conscious about your blackness, about the black experience. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
There's no way to say like this, oh, you're saying you're pro-black, but look at your wife. Listen, and Brother B, and I'm going to echo what you said, is that, and Lady T, you said such a wonderful thing. All of you said some things that made sense, and I thought about it as I'm listening. I'm like, why didn't I use my words more wisely? Come on, man. What's wrong with you? You think better than that. But to say that someone, because someone is pro-black, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to go around hating all white people, hating anyone who's not black. It's about knowing who you are as a black person and understanding the black experience here in America. You understand? Here it is, it's 2018, and you know what's sad about it is that too many people are calling out your black card, like, oh, you ain't down with this, or you ain't down with that because you do such and such and such and such. Being black doesn't mean that you have to be ignorant. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Being black, girl, you gotta look at, you gotta understand this. As a black person living in this country, are you gonna experience racism? Of course you will. Are you gonna experience racial profiling from the police? Of course you will. Walk into a store, you're gonna get followed? Of course you will. But yet, being pro-black means, you know what, people, I'm with you, but we can't ask people to do things for us, and we gotta do things for ourselves. Now, I applaud Don Lemon for the things he does. Just like you hear, okay, I could say Jesse Washington. You
yeah.
see Jesse Washington. He okay, he's a product of
but he's
a biracial. Right. But people will say, oh, why is he got, like I heard someone saying, oh, why that half caste got a talk for? I'm like, shut up, you stupid idiot. You know? Here,
but
you
he, but you, but because, but you know what? It seems like he does get he like all right when he made that speech.
Yeah.
Do
mm-hmm.
you think that any other black person would have had that type of platform to speak on and not be, you know, chastised?
Of course, they would have been
like,
chastised.
How is it, how is it that yep. he was able to do it? How is it that he was able to do it, but? Would you know what I'm saying? Would oh gosh, what's his name? Charles Gambino, what's his real name?
Donald,
Donald
Glover.
Donald Glover.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
so
would he have been able to go, you know, up there and make that comment
and is that, yeah.
without, you know, being like, you know, labeled like, oh my gosh,
is
like he hates white people too.
That's
yeah,
the point.
It's like, yeah, he went up, right, would Donald Glover have been able to do that, or anybody else would have been able to do that, but, you know, he was able to go up there and say, you know, say what he had to say and hitting them points like that, but I
yeah.
think it's because it's comfortable for everybody. You understand? It's like, okay, I'm going to put another example out there, and I'm going to say it, like, with Drake. It's comfortable
right.
for everybody. Drake
mm-hmm.
is comfortable for everybody. But what's the other guy? Bobby Shmurda is not.
Bobby Shmurda is definitely not.
Right. He's not. Like, Bobby Shmurda couldn't come out. You know, he came out. You see where he at now. But Drake is comfortable for everybody.
No, that's the thing.
And why?
To both the blacks and the whites. He
right, exactly.
The
so he's comfortable for everybody. But they don't want an actual black person to say those things. Like, okay,
exactly.
you can't send somebody up there. Yeah, like, you don't want an actual black person, because then, just like you said with the pro-black thing, then it's like, oh, he hates all white people because he said that.
And it's not hating all white. You know what? To be pro-black, it doesn't mean that you hate all white people. It's like I said, it's a conscious. It's being conscious about who you are as a black person. It's being supportive of black causes. It's like standing there saying like this, listen, I am very proud to be black. It's not nothing wrong with saying that.
Okay, now check it out. You just touched on a very sensitive topic to me, you know, for me, when it comes down to the music. Now, don't get me wrong, and I'm not trying to turn the tide of discussion, but, you know, it all ties in.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I like Drake, but I don't like him. I don't respect Drake.
No, I don't.
Okay. And then one of the main reasons why I don't respect Drake is because, first of all,
he's a fraud.
You know, as a person, well, yeah, he is a fraud. You know what I'm saying? He's
yeah.
a fraud. Because as a person who used to, you know, be into the music and a
yeah.
person that was a writer, like,
yeah.
if you're not an MC, how dare you consider yourself an MC and you don't write your own stuff? I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I don't care.
You're
I
not.
Don't care who it goes for. I mean, that was just from Queensbridge to Ravenswood to Astoria to
to multiple places around the boroughs. If you didn't write your own stuff, you would just not consider an MC. Now, with that being said, it's a fraud that he's bringing into, he's introducing into the mix, because people
right.
seem to think it's okay to be an invalid MC. But could someone else get away with that?
Of course not.
The way he's getting away with it, could someone else get away with it like that?
No. Nope.
I wonder about that. But why is he allowed to be being able to get away with it? And on top of that, he's able to use the N word gratuitously. Able to use
exactly.
the N word. And Eminem may never have to come out and say it. But this
now,
guy,
Eminem,
you know, he feels the need that he can use it on a regular basis, and it's okay, and they love him for it. Now I look at this Tekashi 6ix9ine. Okay, and I have to put it
oh
out
my
there
goodness.
He's not black.
What a
dumbass. We talked about this. What a dumbass.
But my whole thing is, how is he given the baton?
I say it like it is.
In our music with the shit that he's saying. See, my thing is
and
this. If you're going to be... my thing is this. If you're going to be on some black stuff, like, and talk about certain things that are black, then you need to talk about everything. And that includes, like, the state of entertainment and the state of our music and how others are using it, or it is
mm-hmm.
being used by the industry to help perpetuate a stereotype, help to perpetuate the violence, and say that, oh, it's on us. So you're trying to tell me that hip-hop is violent because Tekashi 6ix9ine, who is not black, is saying all of this stuff, but yet our music is violent.
Yeah, they
you know,
care.
That's the
as
sad part about it.
Paid.
They don't care because, you know, once again, Brother B, remember you and I had a conversation about this not too long ago when it comes down to, and I'm not taking anything off the subject, when it comes down to the music industry with concerning us as a people. Do you remember what I said? What? One of the things that I said to you, and I'm sure you remember, is that time and time again in this record industry, we see this thing like, oh, wow, you know, I want to do what sells. The negativity, they'll take one of us and say like this, oh, you know what? They look like they could work on my label. They'll sell records with all the nonsense. You know, they hood dudes. They have them sign a contract, right? Don't they? They have them sign a contract. They give them a cash advance on the album and say, okay, here, sign your name on this. And mind you, Homeboy's not reading those contracts, right? He's signing it.
Hell no.
Wait, it depends on who. Because trust and believe, people like Drake or Tekashi 6ix9ine are being offered different types of deals. They're being treated
mm-hmm.
differently because,
of course.
You know what I'm saying, they're going to help foster the stereotype. See, all
right,
one thing with Drake and his whole thing is, all right, I remember the little, like I said, I'm not trying to switch up the topic, but real quick, the little situation that happened with him and Pusha T.
Yeah.
It really exposed Drake. But what I find interesting is people still giving him a pass. So wait a minute.
They are.
Basically, Drake has basically been put on blast. You're not taking care of your kid, and
mm-hmm.
you're shitting on your baby mama, but yet you want to come out with a song like, oh, like for what? Wait a minute, hold on. Like, who the fuck are you? Who
exactly.
are you to talk this junk? You don't even want to take care of your kid and take care of your bitch. You know what I'm saying? Then you want to come out with a song talking about I'm upset about how now you got to pay child support. But yet, wait a minute. Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. So what you upset? There's a lot of us that's upset. But yo, do the right thing, man. But wait a minute.
Be a man.
He's still being given a pass. Right. So is there a difference when Tyrese and his dark ass got up there? Well, even though he was on some buffoonery shit, Tyrese got up there and he was crying and boo-hooing about child support. Listen,
that was the most funniest thing I've seen on the list.
What do you want from me?
I mean,
that was crazy, man.
But yet they ostracized him, but nobody's saying anything about Drake. So it's okay.
Well, Tyrese got clowned all over social media because of that.
Listen.
Yeah,
but nobody clowned Drake when he said it in the song. Nobody clowned him. Why? Because there's a double standard. Because he can say it, but I'm sorry, but a full black man can't say it. Fully black man can't say it. But it's all right,
you know
what? Because that's the golden boy.
Like I say, he's comfortable on all platforms. Even though he's black, but he's the comfortable black man. We know how that goes. Comfortable black man.
Come on, man. He's a comfortable black man. I mean, what does he care? He's like this. Hey, I'm getting paid. I'm getting money. I got all these people following me. You know what? I'm glad we're talking about this because, okay, for those of you who saw the movie, Don't Be a Menace While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood. Do you remember that character? He was talking all the black.
Oh yeah. He was talking all the black stuff.
He was talking about.
And he was hollering at the white chick.
Yep,
oh yeah, he had the white chick.
Yeah. This is what we're talking about.
Y'all gotta stop calling each other niggas.
Could you move over, please? Excuse me. See, now I'm about to set it off here because you know this. I gotta say it. Big Red. Now, okay, we just came off an election season, and I was listening to what Roland Martin had to say about these fake conscious Negroes who go around quoting Malcolm X, talking all this mess. See, there's a couple of them out there. Now, Brother B, you'll know what I'm talking about. Talking all this mess about white supremacy, white privilege. And then, in real life now, they chasing white women.
Of course.
You know that?
Of course.
They are chasing white women, standing there telling black people not to vote. They go in their rants and their raves. They write their blogs. They go on social media. They do a whole bunch of things. But yet, they're chasing white women.
They want some of that vanilla.
What can we say about that?
Well, I guess love has no color.
Love has no color. Listen, I'm not knocking interracial romance. I'm not knocking that. There's nothing wrong with that because you can't help but who you fall in love with. And you know what? You're right. Love has no color. But as long as someone is conscious about who they are as black people, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with who you're with. But at the same time, don't stand there and preach a bunch of things, but yet you're being disrespectful to your black woman and respecting other women. Don't do that. You're a hypocrite.
All right, so check it out. And this is another sensitive one. So let's flip it. Serena Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Serena Williams, the reason why I got a little pissed off with her some time ago is because she made a statement. Now, I think I really believe when she was, the interview was going on, that she was drawn in and she didn't know that it was going to get flipped on her like that. But she was asked a question about, do you see a difference between dating black men and, white men? Now, see, that was a setup right there.
That was total. I would have never even answered the question like, oh, well, Byron, what do you, you know, Brother B, what you think about, you know, dating white women and black women? I was like, the woman is a woman. But Serena Williams went in there to say that, well, white men, you know, treat you differently.
Wow.
And
yeah,
I had a problem with her after that, because as much as that black man of a father that they have who busted his ass to get them fought for them, it's not because she has a white husband. I don't care about that. I don't care who you date. But
yeah,
don't do that. Don't poison the well. Because see, somebody else will take that and run with it, just like the magazine and ran with it. Somebody else will take that comment and run with it. And as a black man, I just feel that that was the ultimate smack in the face by someone her position.
Listen, I'm gonna say something that's like personal to that, because a lot of unfortunately, you know, when it comes to that, if you're going to say something like that, that's just, you probably, you know, if you're basing it on your personal experience, you should say that, okay, this relationship, okay, a man is a man. Relationships are different, but you can't necessarily stand there and say like this that, oh, well, being with a white person is better. That's your opinion. Like, okay, let's just say
notice the words that she used, and Big Red and Lady T, I need you to comment on this. Yeah. But notice the words that she used. She was asked the question, and she said, well, you know, well, white men do treat you differently. That's all that needed to be said. She didn't have to say better. She didn't have greater. But all she said was, well, they treat you differently. Because, see, there's already a certain stigma of how a stereotype of how black men supposedly treat their women, like white men ain't never treat
women
like
that. Yeah, white men treat women white kids.
Exactly.
White men, I think they're a little worse than black men.
And the same goes vice versa. And the sad thing is, the same things go vice versa, because you have some black men will be like, damn, man, black women are so hard to get along with, man. They always have this nasty attitude. But yet you go out with a white woman's all cheery and stuff, and finally, oh, my goodness, I can't be with a black woman because black women are too much. Listen, vice versa. A woman is a woman, okay? Nobody's perfect. So if you can't deal with, okay, you're going to say, oh, a black woman's too, how do you know, okay, a white woman could be moody? Just like a black woman could be moody.
A white woman could be psychotic.
Exactly.
Burn down your house.
Don't you know the snap?
Yep.
That shows snap today. Number white women.
There you
number
go.
White women.
Yeah. Oh, you just made a slam dunk.
Pour a little bit of ammonia in your turkey stuffing. You
exactly.
Know.
Pour a little bit of ammonia.
Exactly.
Pour some
ammonia in your dinner.
Some eye drops in your ice
cream. Yeah, put some
rat poison in your ice cream.
And then when you go to the hospital, his body functions are failing. Why, doctor? Well, we don't know.
Yeah.
We have to do further tests. Oh, my gosh, he's going to die. I can't. And, yo, they'll act the whole part out.
Like,
meanwhile, they pouring it all up in there, mixing it right in your soup.
Right, exactly. Hey, look what happened with what's his name? Tiger Woods. When what happened when she found out that?
Oh yeah, she went off.
He got them
God.
Golf clubs.
He went off. She flipped on him.
Yep.
He got them golf clubs. Like, I'm gonna give you a hole in one, right?
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
And she got away with it all.
So don't sit there and talk about, oh, black women are so hard. No, don't say that, because white women are very psychotic. So, you know, hey, a woman is a woman.
Oh, yeah.
So
listen,
you do them dirty, they're going to give you the business.
Well, listen, whether it's black woman, black man, white man, you put a person in a situation, depending on their nature, they're going to flip. No matter how you slice it, they're gonna flip. You may find something in your food, or you may find sugar in your gas tank, your brake line cut, something like it's gonna happen. When you push a person, simple and plain, something's gonna happen.
So don't sit there and say like this, oh, you'd rather be with somebody because, oh, well, I'm picking someone of a different race because, oh, I'd be much better off with this person. I mean, don't get me wrong. Thought about it, but then after, look, you have to understand something. It's just your personal opinion. If you feel that way, that's you. So don't sit there and blame an entire race of women or an entire race of a man saying like this, oh, well, look at these guys. Look how they treat their women. Listen. No, again, nobody's perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect person. Understand that.
Well, yeah, this is true. But now, all right, I'm gonna walk out there on a limb, and like I said, I'm gonna look at some of these black male actors that have white spouses. Some of them, you know, are vocal. I mean, because look at Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, Morgan Freeman he has stuff to say. He'll say it like it is, this, that, and the third. And yes, you know, his wife is white, but I don't really think it's an issue about the so-called pro-black thing in a way. I just think, once again, it's a thing where when something happens, you have individuals that are vocal on it. Like, you can, if you want to take somebody that was very pro-black, we'll take a Malcolm X, for example. Now, we know somebody like Malcolm X could not have had a white woman because that just wasn't him. Like, I don't believe that was him. I mean, you see the way he came up. He came up in the Nation, after his stint in prison and then he turned to the Nation. I mean, simple and plain. His whole thing was, I got to, you know, take care of my black woman.
Right,
you know, that
was
his attitude. Now, not everybody
believed in respecting
the
black
woman. But he already had a taste of the white woman already, and he already had a taste of the white woman. So he already that was devil central right there.
Yeah. But, you know, you see how he made his 360, he made his conversion, and, you know, he realized what he had to do, his mission. And from that point, it was just black all the way. Now, like Lady T said in the beginning, which is very true, because you're pro-black or you say things, you know, in terms of, that about black people, it doesn't mean that you don't like white people.
Exactly.
But once again, people will take it that way. And, you know, this whole thing kind of started because Redhead came up with the topic. Childish Gambino, whatever his name is, something Glover.
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. And he did that video.
This is America.
This is America. But yet he has a white girlfriend. Now, mind you, he could have had his views all that time. But see, Childish Gambino was okay until he said something conscious. Then everybody was But then they wanted to highlight the fact that he had a white girlfriend.
Right.
Well, what about
Jordan
Peele? Huh? Like Jordan Peele, the guy that did Get Out? Jordan Peele, his wife is white.
Look at Dr. Cornell, look who Dr. Cornell West is married to.
I don't know who he married to.
He married a Jewish woman.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I want to say this, with all the brothers and sisters that we have, what are they doing for their own community? Let's talk about that. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you're saying pro-black, but what are we doing for our own community?
Thank you. Thank you so much for saying that, because you know what? And I'm glad you mentioned that, T. See, Brother B, you know you and I always have that conversation, man. We always have that conversation about it.
I'm sorry, the Negroes ain't doing nothing.
Hell, you're loud,
but they ain't saying nothing. It's easy to get on stage and get in front of a microphone and get in front of 100,000 people and make these comments. We got to do this, and we got this, and pro-black this, and black people, but yet,
what are you really doing?
Are their boots on the ground?
Brother B, let me just say this. I'm just gonna say it, I'm gonna be honest about this, and I'm so glad T mentioned it. She hit the nail on the head. Let me just say it like this. We are not doing anything for ourselves. We're waiting for people to do things for us. When is it gonna? You know, it is so sad that we sit there with our hands. We come to people with on our knees and our hands out, asking people to do things for us. This is just ridiculous. It is 2018. You know what it is that we need to do? We need to do something called responsibility. Do you understand what responsibility is, Brother B?
But not to cut across, but I was listening to something the other day, and somebody said something in the statement, and it was true. It seemed like a lot of other people, because, all right, if we really want to talk about responsibility, we have to kind of go back to the roots of things. And we have to look at things for where they are. How is it that a lot of other people got their reparations for certain things that were done to them?
Right.
But we never received anything. Me personally, America could never afford to give the black people any type of monetary or economic. You can't afford it. You can't afford it. You can't afford to do anything for us because you would not only break the bank, but you put yourself in the red for probably the next million years.
Wasn't it the 40 acres in the mule?
Yeah, but you know, then they realized that the land was important, so they reneged on that. And see, that's the whole thing. They could never give us any type of reparations because they can't afford it. They won't ever give it to us
because they think also that this is how it was supposed to be. We were supposed to be slaves.
Once again, manifest destiny. Yep. That's why, to a degree, I don't start with me, Lady T. Don't start. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I do and I don't believe in the whole white privilege thing because to them, they feel that their whole attitude is like, we are God's choice. We are people he put us in, and we're supposed to rule over everybody. That's their whole attitude, simple and plain. All right, good luck with that. We'll see how far that's gotten you. I was on a Facebook link. It was a conversation that was had. My brother posted something about that whole situation in Paradise, California, where it was all burnt down and everything like that. And, listen, I think I really didn't go in depth with the story, but I think that the fire was actually started by someone who was not a minority. So with that being said, it just goes back to what was said in the movie, like the chickens are coming home to roost. I mean, you cannot do certain things you can't and expect it not to come back to you. So if you feel that your whole ideal, like we're the white people, we're this, we're that, and we're supposed to rule over everybody, then why has your shit show gone wrong? If you really truly believe that that is your position in the universe, why is the shit going on now? Why can you not keep control of what the hell you got going on? Because it's not your show to run. It's not your show to run. You know what I'm saying? It's everybody's show, but you just can't take over and make everybody's show your main movie. It doesn't work like that. And I think the problem is the more conscious people become, the more violent they're willing to get to keep that control. When it comes down to like I said, Childish Gambino, he made a song. But he was making all these songs before, But as soon as he made a song, This Is America, and said something conscious, next thing you know, oh, he got a white girlfriend. He got a white baby mama. Nobody cared about that before.
The same thing. With Jordan Peele, it's the same thing. It's good that people were like, well, how
when
you
made
get
out.
That movie Get Out, and your
but
wife
you
is
white.
It's just like, you have a white wife. Yeah. So.
Because you know what? You know how you can make that? Because, listen, once again, it may sound like a cliche, but love has no color. And who he is as a black man, or who someone is as a black woman, that's not who you sleeping with, who you having kids with, that's not going to change. It's not going to change who you are in this country. Just because you're walking with a white person down the street, you still a nigga.
Right. It doesn't matter how
and
many
it's
degrees
not, it's
or
not. It's not going to change. No matter who's your buddy, you still a nigga. And somewhere along the line, they're always going to make sure that you learn that lesson. You still a nigga.
Yep.
No matter what. So, once again, what we need to do is step away from that. My whole thing is, pro-black, I gives no fucks about it. I'm sorry, I have to say it like that. I don't care. We need to focus what we need to focus on, so you want to talk white privilege? Let's talk about black privilege. Let's create that. Let's create an air where it's like, no, I'm sorry, this is not for you. Sorry, this is our thing. Nope,
you know
put
what
down
it is?
That microphone. Nope, you can't have
this.
The thing. Everything that we have, we always allow some, just like when people want to talk about how black people or have an issue with white folk. How many white folk come move into Brooklyn, move into Bronxville? We don't run them out of our neighborhoods.
No.
But be black and move into somebody in the white neighborhood.
They have the money. They have that money. That's what that's about. You
they
don't
have
see
that
when
money.
The Jews come and they want to buy that property that's in Brownsville.
Oh,
they're going to pay you cash.
Yep, but,
you're going to take that right up front. You know what I mean? So, come on.
I feel you. I feel you coming from, but check this out. I'm talking about the nature of things. It's not in our nature to run people out. We don't do that. You see what I'm
saying?
They do that. Others do that. Mm-hmm. They do that. We don't do that. You want to move in Bed-Stuy? So what? You want to do this? So what? We don't say anything about that. We may talk amongst each other, but we ain't going to collectively get together and run a white family out because they just moved into. Listen, white people was living in the projects when we was coming. So what? We don't care. But why is it as soon as we do something, then it becomes an issue? As soon as we move into your neighborhood, oh, my gosh, the property's going down, crime's going to happen, this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
No, we want a piece of the property just like you.
As a matter of fact, I wanted
I'm sorry, we just don't want no raisins in it. Just don't put the raisins in the damn pie. We just don't want raisins.
You know what happened? There were many cases like that, like, oh my goodness. Oh, they're going to bring in some unruly people. Like, okay, I definitely don't want no unruly people living in my neighborhood. And they're looking at you like, huh? When you say that as a black person, like, well, I'm not here. I don't want no unruly. Or we just don't want unruly people in our neighborhood. You know what? So do I.
No matter
I
what
really
color they
want,
are.
Exactly.
But yet, after all, when we look at the whole situation about, you know, when it comes to the racism of it, it's like, oh, my goodness, they moving into our neighborhood. Oh, no, they're going to bring noise. They're going to bring their drugs. The person just wants to live in a quiet neighborhood. They're not trying to cause any trouble. Just like you worked hard to buy that house, they worked hard to buy that house. So who are you to tell them they can't come into your neighborhood? I'm like, wow. Is your name on the neighborhood or something? Did you own it? I mean, I want to know.
But once again, that's the attitude that is being had, and that's the attitude that we accept. See, once again, it goes along to acceptance and tolerance. And see, they know that we're very accepting, and they know that we're tolerant. Just like they can go out and just kill black men and black women and our children, and we just march, we pray, and then we keep it moving. That's why they continue to do it. But you can't do it to them because, like I said before and I'll say again, how many black cops, how many Asian cops, how many Indian cops have you heard out there shooting white men? or white women or white children.
But they'll get the book thrown at them.
You don't hear of it. You know why? Because we don't do that. Mm-hmm. We don't do it. That's right. Why. Call the 7244. You're on the air with Dominion.
Hey, what's going on? Peace and Black Power.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Oh, what's up?
What's going on, fam?
Which, don't come on here and not say your name, brother. What's up?
I'm sorry. I didn't know what the order was. I didn't know if you guys wanted me to present my name, but since I know
present it,
you
brother.
Do.
Let them know you here.
My name is Equine Neve. I'm calling from South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, hello.
I'm gonna call you E. I'm gonna call you E because the rest was hard for me. Rest hard for me.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. Speak your piece, brother.
Well, I was just basically, I'm not sure where the conversation is right now at this point. But the pro-black discussion, if a revolutionary, because I would look at a real pro-black person would be what we call a racist, right? To me, a pro-black mm-hmm. person would be a one that says my race first, all right? And I know mm-hmm. I'm a one, I definitely don't mind, you know, saying of that nature, but sometimes they can become offensive. So I would even be kind of questionable of the white chick that would be down for a brother that's like hell with crackers or you know talking junk about white people. So that would be kind of funny. I would be
you're right.
To see somebody
right.
that
right.
has quote unquote now said that I'm conscious enough to say that my people come first, right?
Right?
And in that, if you're that conscious to know where you are, right? I'm assuming that some of us that call ourselves pro-black, revolutionary, we are conscious somewhat
right.
so much more than we could say some of our brothers and sisters that, you know, are waiting for some type of white savior to deliver their redemption, okay? So, even yet and still, I think one of the fundamental things that we should know is about procreation, is about family, how to start your own family. And hell, I don't want your pro-black ass and you don't know how to raise and take care of your family. If you don't know how to take care and sustain your wife, and these are things that are fundamental tools far more necessary than your gun is. Far more necessary than whatever type of act of revolutionary, you know, we would think of taking care of your house. This is the first place talking about procreating, mm-hmm. talking about creating seeds that look like your ancestors, creating seeds that look like you. This would be the thing if you're saying, hey, I want my team to win. I want my team first, being pro-black again. So, therefore, right. it wouldn't be any room to deviate to me. Sorry.
All right, brother. Now, wait, what's your name again? Brother, E.
Hello?
E. Wait, what's your name again?
If you're going to say it, brother,
say it, because I want to get it right. No, I want to get it
okay.
right. That's why, but you're breaking
okay.
up.
Okay, it's E, and then Kwa, this is like Kwa Leonard, Kwa, Neve.
Oh, Equality. Okay, Equality.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Okay, now, you just said something that made me want to ask a question to all of you guys. And I want you, Mr. Equality, to set it off. Do you think that having a white spouse is like a cover for the black to say what they need to say, like it's some type of protection that will kind of give them a avenue to, you know, like I said, protection, so they can say whatever they need to say without some type of, like, you know, serious retribution?
If they're actually saying anything worthwhile with any type of validity to it, they cannot feel comfortable saying that with their wife. they just inside. You're going to be against the very thing.
You breaking up, brother?
Excuse me. All right, I'm sorry.
That's all
right. In my eyes,
that's all right.
Rhetoric, your whole propaganda would be one speaking against the very existence of this, you know, this, because we're still dealing with white privilege, you know.
Mm-hmm,
even
right.
though you're married to that white woman, she goes out and she, you know, she's going to benefit from white privilege. So if you are really, and I do think that you see the dynamic in which you describe more so on a commercial level, where you got people like Shannon Sharp, you got some of these cats that, you know, come out and they say some bulls talking about, just like Don Lemon, he made the comment saying about white was the, you know, in America. And that's true. But when you're taking pictures with a white man, you know, as your lover, you know, that's warped. You know, and I think a lot of times, even as people are probing and looking at the Colin Kaepernick situation a little bit closely, you know, of course, what he's promoting, the rhetoric, you know, the propaganda that he's promoting is great. But when you actually look at who is behind it, the George Soros, you know, you look at an agenda, and it seems like, quote-unquote, revolutionary pro-black rhetoric. So not all the time that just because they're speaking pro-black, that it's going to be organic and tailor-made to the African or to black folks.
Big Red.
Yes.
What you got to say about that? Do you think right, that the whole having the white spouse thing is like a, you know, it's like a shield?
It could be. It could be. I feel that it could be because I feel that, yeah, I think it could be because they can say what they want to say and not have that like, basically like a clap back. But then again, no, they kind of do get a clap back because then, when they do certain things, just like we were saying with Donald Glover, you do certain things, and then it's like they want to bring up, oh, well, he has a white girlfriend, a white, you know, baby mom, or a white wife, you know, white wife or whatever. But yeah, I think you know, it's kind of they get flat back of it, but I don't know.
T, Lady T.
I don't know. It's questionable on both ends of that. It's questionable on the, you know, the spouse end and on the person that's pro-black end. So it's a question mark on both ends for me.
K-Dog.
You know, it is a very difficult question to answer in terms, but there's one question I do want to bring up. Like, okay, I understand about people who are in interracial, who are in a relationship or married outside of their race. But my question is this: could the person that you're with, even though I know that the person does not see color because they love you for the person that you are, but could they understand your struggle? You know, could they understand that?
I can sympathize a woman when she's on her menstrual, but I can never really understand her struggle. That's the best way I can put it right now. Because,
right.
You know what I'm saying? I can sympathize. I can know about it because I have a sister. I have a daughter. You know what I'm saying? You know, I know about it, but I can only sympathize, but I don't really know what the struggle is. So they're
right.
Sympathizers, yes. But you can never know our true struggle, because you will never be a part of it. You'll never
right.
have to go through it. And I really think, to answer my own question, I really think that some of these people out there, I could be wrong, but I think they do take these white spouses. I mean, I believe it's love, but I also believe there's a protection in it. There's a protection in it. So you can say what you need to say, but then you can be like, hey, I'm not a racist. Look, my wife is white, or my husband is white. I mean, black or whatever. I'm not a racist. There's always that.
Right.
You can't say I'm this because I'm, hey, my husband or my wife is this.
Right.
So, you know, my boyfriend
right.
is this. So I'm not, you know what I'm saying? So I can say this, but you can't call me a racist. You can't call me something because, look, And I think, once again, I do think there's a shield in it. Because, see, because Colin Kaepernick, because what is he, what's that dude, what, Jesse Powell or something like that? What is his name is from,
right,
from that show? Yeah, him, yeah, they're half black. What, all right, even the NAACP was started by white folk.
Yeah.
You know, I find it interesting how white people always, you know, setting off the charge, and then we come to follow. So how pro-black are some of us really are? I don't think you have to be pro-black to talk about your people. I don't think there even should be it should be a label of pro-black. It should just be a thing of like, well, this is who I am. This is who we are. Because, see, there's too much of a definition that we have to add, or some type of label that we have to add to who we are to make ourselves feel more defined in a country where we have basically died for. And
right.
We're still dying for. And we're dying, yeah. Some of us are dying to prove what? So we don't need to be pro-black. We don't need to talk about Black Lives Matter. What we need to do is just matter in general. Because we do. But are we psyching ourselves into believing that we matter? Just because we see what the media is saying? Are we doing better than what the media is saying, or what Trump is saying, or what anybody else is saying? Are we doing better? That's the whole thing. We're not creating. If we're supposed to be so creative, we're not creating any outlets or creating any avenues or creating any goddamn thing to be what some would say is pro-black. It's all words.
And that's what I was saying about responsibility. A lot of us are not taking that responsibility. Like, let's just say, especially, we want to talk about communities, we want to talk about our own neighborhoods, but yet, what are we doing as a people?
See, we used to.
Better
we used to. We used to have that. But we allowed ourselves.
The powers that be.
Yeah, we allowed ourselves to become divided. And we're still allowing ourselves to become divided.
Well, that's where it starts,
so
at home first before the communities.
Exactly.
Starts at home before the communities.
Exactly, but see, but that's the whole thing, you know, the home structure. Come on, we know how it is. A lot of us know how it is, because the whole thing is like, it's not about. I mean, as much as we know it should be about the home, it's not. It's not about the home anymore. It's about the TV. It's about the streets. It's about it's about the stereotypes being, you know, perpetuated out, you know, in the world. It's about everything else than about the home structure. Now, once again, I'm not trying to introduce this, and it has nothing to do with the man himself. But I just find it interesting how when Bill Cosby started doing what he was doing on TV, I heard black people, oh, that's irrelevant. Oh, you're never going to see a black and a black lawyer and a black doctor together and this, that, and the third. We can be our
that's
own
a sad thing. Yes, we can. I've been saying
we
this
can
for
be
the
our
longest,
own worst
like,
enemy. Because
wow.
See, white people, because Jewish people, because Indian people, Asian people, they can say it to themselves all day and it will be true. Because if you go into a hospital, who you see there? Who primarily are the doctors that you see there?
You'll see a black doctor or you'll see a black nurse.
You always going to listen. Let's take the hair off our tongue. You gonna see Indian? You gonna see Indian? You gonna see white?
Indians, yes.
You gonna see Indian? You gonna see white? See, you notice certain ethnic people got their own thing. Like, it's like the Indians are locking down the medical. You got the Asians that are locking down certain things. White people lock down certain things. But what do we lock down? The most easiest thing, the entertainment. And we still ain't got it locked down because they run us on it. They run us on it.
And you know what's sad about it? We as a people, and I'll say this bluntly, we are creators, what mathematics, in terms of science and the arts. Look at all the things that came from us. Look at what we've created. But yet,
well, you wouldn't believe it, but they wouldn't believe it. Look at the state we're in now.
We don't believe it.
See, one thing that I like I said before, yeah, love has no color. But some people know who the winning team is, and that's why they roll with it. Some people know who the winning team are, and that's why they roll with it. Some people know who's going to have my back in the long run, and that's just that. Sometimes love got something to do with it, and sometimes love don't. But in the grand scheme of things,
well,
hey,
child. I don't think about it like that either.
Huh?
I said, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I didn't think about that either, because you know what? Just saying that, you're absolutely right, because they know that they're going to, I guess, in terms of having that white, supposedly white spouse, they feel that, oh, they're going to back me up. Their people are also going to back me up. I can also get their people to back me up.
The biggest, and I'm going to say it, the biggest threat to any and everyone other than a black person is a black household.
Exactly.
A strong black man, a strong black woman, and black children. That is the threat. That is the biggest threat you can pose to this country is a strong black household. Take it away, Hot Rod, 3054. What's up?
Boom, boom. Hey guys, I need a white woman in my life. Was you sisters are too much of a headache.
Get away from that.
You know?
Where the white women?
I don't need no more drama.
Where the white women at?
Exactly. What are the white women? We need them around. There's no controversy about that. You sisters are too much of a headache. You have too much anger in yourself sometimes.
White women love you when you got that football or that NBA contract.
Exactly.
Oh, you Tiger Woods.
But that rap career,
and that's about economics. Yeah, the rap career is about economics, brother. It's about economics.
Money could buy me love, okay? So if you could buy me love, I'll buy a white woman love, too. I don't care. Let's get this
straight. Technically, you can say that if the white women coming at you, then you know you done made it.
Hey, you made it. I had my moments back in my day when I was young and proud. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
But true story about using white people as advantage with my coworkers, I would tell the white girls, you go stand in the corner and get a cab because you're white, they will wait for you compared to wait for me. So you do your job and go wait in the corner and get us a cab. I do that to the white woman all the time. And you use that as an advantage because you know how cabs do not save for black people.
What?
It's not funny.
No,
it's true.
I mean, it is true.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It is true.
I mean, listen, it's crazy that we even have to have these type of conversations in 2018 going into 2019. We're still talking about color. We still have these types of issues. Why? Because it's obvious that someone wants to keep it going to keep things divided. Because this is really the only point where we're divided in other than economics. This is the point where we're really divided.
Why is that, Brother B? Why does it still continue after all these years?
Because they said, what did they say with their little tiki torches? They said you or the Jews will not replace us. And apparently they feel threatened. Their numbers feel threatened. And, they don't want to ever be in the position that they felt. Because, I mean, look at Obama. Listen, when Obama came into office, they went and bought guns, not because they felt he was going to take them away, but they thought that he was going to open up the doors of every prison and white people were going to turn around and be picking cotton and we were going to be chilling, drinking lemonade. That's what they thought.
Yeah. No,
they thought Obama was going to flip the whole thing around, but we may laugh at it, but to some of them that's a fear.
That's how they think.
Exactly.
That's a fear to them. That's a black threat. As the way you have other white people that are sitting around, like the same ones that move into the black neighborhood, they ain't thinking about that crap because they know that it ain't going to happen. Because they know that's not our agenda. They know that's not about us. They know that all we're trying to do. See, there's different types of white folk. There's white folk that know, listen, these black people ain't thinking about you. They ain't thinking about me. They think about getting themselves together and doing what they're doing. But there's other white folk that's like, oh, they're gonna take us over and they're gonna rape our women. They're still stuck in that mindset, that same mindset
exactly.
that led them to take
from
pictures with black
generation.
Bodies hanging from trees
and
vilifying.
And that idiot in office is just like intensifying that fear.
Oh man,
you know,
spending the
brain
for them.
And that battery.
Big Red. I'm not mad at him for that though. If it works, why not? If people believe in that nonsense and people go for it, why not? You know, people get upset with Donald Trump, but he's just saying it. He did not go out there and really preach it. He did not say, "Oh, Brother B, go lit up the torches. Let's go have a party right now." He's just saying what other people been was on other people's minds for all this time. You know, he's finally come out the closet with it. That's all.
Now see, now and in real talk, if I had and Brother Equality, I want you to comment after I say this because we're about to run out of time. But we are not grabbing. If I have to come from that corner, I'm gonna come from that corner. We are not seizing the moment. Instead of us talking about pro-black, why don't we jump on the fact of how all these white men are running around shooting up every goddamn thing?
Exactly.
Why are we not? We should be holding them accountable and exposing them for the things that they're doing instead of so much talking about pro-black. See, we can get our point across without making our point with our color. Brother Equality, what do you think about that? Hello?
Brother E.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello, I don't hear him, man.
All right, well what do any one of you guys think about that?
Well, you know what it is. Again, I'm going to have to say this is due to the privilege that they because, hey, listen, look. You brought up the shootings, which is true. They could walk into a place and shoot up a place. And you know what? They'll be known as crazy or they have mental issues. But let us do something like that. We'll be animals.
But the thing is, we don't. We don't.
We don't do it.
That's the whole thing. But maybe we should.
Maybe we should.
But see, no.
We would never get away with it.
They would shoot us dead in a heartbeat. They would shoot us dead in a heartbeat.
I'll go back to remember that dude. Remember when the whole situation happened with, I guess the cops shot some kid, and then there was this dude that came up from Maryland and he shot two cops in the back of the head while they were patrol.
Yeah.
You see how quick. As soon as that black man shot some two cops, you see how quick they was like, oh, we gotta shut this down. Like, we can't have everybody going out doing this. Instant fear. And they had the dude's mom come, the kid's mom who got killed, they had her come out and saying stuff and all this and that, trying to quell it. See, that's why we can't do it, because as soon as we do it, they'll be ready to hit the panic button.
As soon as we unite, that's when they're ready to hit the panic button.
Exactly.
Because... Because
and
you
somebody,
know what? I'm glad
somebody
you brought that up.
Somebody said
remember
we can't
the Panthers?
Have somebody else doing that.
Look at what they did to the Panthers.
Yeah.
Look at what they did to the Black Panthers. Didn't they shut them down?
Of course. Well, Hot Rod, what's going on for tomorrow night?
Well, number one, I'm drunk right now. Number two, for tomorrow night at 10:30, right here on Blog Talk Radio, we will talk about the mistrial of the guy who was accused of killing the jogger at the park. This may sound like a stupid question, a stupid topic, but why is it on Black Friday people are killing themselves over a TV that they have already?
Thank you, Lady C, Big Red, Hot Rod, K-Dog, Brother Equality, for calling in. And everyone have a great night. Tune in tomorrow night, Absolute Truth, 10:30 p.m., Blog Talk Radio with Sean Black, Hot Rod, K-Dog, and the infamous Lady T. Everybody have a great night.
You gave my title?
I got you.
You called Lady T for that one? Jesus.
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody be safe out there.
Good night, y'all. Good night.
Good night, y'all.
Later.
Later.